What's up, guys? This is The Universe Just Recognized Herself. My name is Abby. I want to welcome you back for another episode. I am so happy to have you guys here listening in now that we are continuing these episodes. I'm so stoked to have you all back. And I have some crazy stories to tell you. Some crazy things that are happening in my life. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of a twin flame or what a twin flame is. But dang, is that such a journey. And that is something that I want to share with you today, is my journey with my twin flame and the relationship which has transpired into this just completely it's just flipped my life upside down. So, with that being said, I want to congratulate all of you for making it through past the Scorpio full moon. I'm sure that exes were appearing back into your life. It was filled with craziness, ups, downs, all arounds, and I hope that you got the release that you were hoping for. I sure did. So it hit 11:33, which was the peak of the moon in Eastern Standard Time. It hit 11:33 and I immediately felt everything release out of my body, and it was such a phenomenal feeling. I was so blessed. I truly hope that you had the best experience. I led one of my first group meditations. I had a little bit of a ceremony and it was super lovely. I was so happy to have everyone there supporting me. And if you are in LA, if you are in California, the 26th of May, I will be hosting with a couple of friends a Sound Bowl full moon ceremony. It's May 26th. I will have the event on my website. My website is justbe.social. That's justbe.social. And if you are looking to purchase a ticket for the event, you can go ahead and book that on my website. You will be taken care of, and it will be a beautiful experience, a total quantum shift and jump. You will be activated, alive, your heart will be open. It will be a beautiful experience for you to engage and meet other people in the spiritual community, people that are just like you. So even if you're not in LA, I have a ton of friends who are purchasing plane tickets to come out there. May 26th, full moon ceremony. I will give you more information in the weeks to come. So excited for that. And also, if you are somebody who has been experiencing weight, feeling tired, feeling lethargic, having a low libido, getting headaches all the time, feeling dizzy, and just not like yourself, tons of brain fog, then you might just be not getting the right nutrients in your body. And something that I have been so blessed to come across in the last few weeks is Purium. And they are this amazing superfood organic cleansing company. They produce probiotics and nutrient-dense powders that I have been putting in my drinks, my smoothies. I've been doing the 30-day cleanse, and I have never had so much energy in my life. Well, not in my life, but in a very long time. And if you are somebody who's like, yeah, I've been experiencing some of those symptoms and I don't want to feel like that, I want to feel like my best self, then go ahead and use my code JUSTBE, that's JUSTBEE, at checkout at purium.com. That's purium. If you check out their website, you can use my code and you can get $100 off of your order, which is so sick. If you are somebody who is thinking that they might want to go on a cleanse, this is for you. It's super gentle. It's not very aggressive. My body has been so flushed out. Like, my body is dispersing all the things that no longer serve me, especially after this full moon. So without further ado, let me tell you, guys, this journey, I'm almost over it. I'm so over it. I've had so many ups, and downs, and downs, and downs, ups, and downs, ups, and downs, all around, trying to figure out what the connection that I have to this person has meant for me, because it's not every day that you meet somebody and you see them in your dreams and you hear them telepathically communicating to you from miles away. It's not every day that you have that kind of relationship with somebody. So obviously it's going to strike your heart in a different way. So if you're familiar with what the twin flame relationship is, it's this runner chaser dynamic where one soul splits into two parts. It splits into two and carries with it the weight of opposition. And there are certain lessons that follow along suit with choosing that journey for yourself. And the lessons that I have learned so far have made me a more powerful woman than I was before. Now, I'm going to tell you the story of how I met this person, because it's kind of unreal. So about a few months ago, I started working at the Salvation Army because Spirit was urging me to start working there. And I was like, why? I didn't want to work in retail again. Why are you making me work here? I don't want to work here. So not to mention, I'm wearing blue khaki pants, a white button-up top. I'm wearing ugly blue apron. It was nothing like my vibe. It's a Christian organization. They're very uniform and not my style of being outside of the faith part, because it definitely was nice working for somewhere where people believed in God, believed in something, and it was beautiful. However, I started working there. It was my third shift, of course. It was my third shift. And a week prior, I had been seeing roses, the symbolism of roses, everywhere. Now, when I say everywhere, I was driving in my car listening to a Jamaican hit CD. And the lyrics in the song were like, red rose. And right as it was saying red rose, I passed by this giant red rose that's in the city that I live in. And I was like, holy, whoa, like that was just too perfect, like too heavy of a synchronicity to pass up, right? And I had been seeing like roses everywhere. And everyone knows what roses mean. Everyone knows it means love. It means love and devotion and intimacy. And I was like, the universe, like, I feel this energy. I don't know what it is. I don't know if this is like, is this my soulmate? Like I felt it. I felt it close. I felt it. And the night before I went into my third shift, I was fully convinced that I was going to win the lottery. I bought a lottery ticket for the first time in my life. I bought the ticket. And of course, if you guys have read my book, How to Get Here, which is still available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, my book, How to Get Here, I talk about the significance behind the number 11 a little bit in my life and the role that it's played for me. And I'm sure it's played for you. The number 11 was the Powerball number on my ticket. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm winning the lottery. So convinced that I was winning. And I did a little ritual. I was feeling the energy in my body that night was just ethereal. It was beyond words. And I woke up in the morning, got ready for my shift. I put makeup on and I was like, heck yeah, this is my last shift working at the Salvation Army. I'm winning the lottery. Like, I was so hype, and the energy, all the synchronicities that day, I was seeing 10-10, 11-11, 12-12. During my shift, when I was working at the counter, all of my spirit guide animals were like being purchased by people. People were buying stuffed animals that were snakes and angels, and somebody bought a board game that was like a Hawaiian board game. And I was like, okay, this is the weirdest day of my life. And this girl started working there whose name was Angela. And I was like, okay, Angel, like, you can't get any more significant than that. And they were like, can you go over and fix the belts like in the men's section? And I'm thinking to myself, Why? I don't want to do anything. I like standing behind the counter and like talking to people and doing the cashiering, and they're like, "Can you just go do that now?" It's like, "Okay, whatever." I'm over there and I start giggling. I start giggling so hard. Every fiber in my being was zooted up into the sky. Like I was giggling so hard. I couldn't stop laughing, and this random human is like in my space in the same aisle as me as I'm hanging up things that are on the floor, and he just starts laughing, and I was like, "Oh my God, I don't know what's happening right now." We're both just giggling at each other. I was like, "Dude, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just keep laughing." And then he like just started cracking up laughing, like crying. And he went over to get his friend. He barely spoke any English, but he went over to get his friend, and he was like, "Look, this girl like can't stop laughing." And then they were laughing at me. I was like, "What is happening, universe? Why do I feel like this?" And I had just assumed that it was because I was winning the lottery. So I like am hanging something up when I look over to my right and I lock eyes with this handsome young man, and I'm like, "Holy fucking shit. Who is this? Who is this?" Like, universe, this can't be it. This literally cannot be my soulmate. There's no way. There's no way. And all I could think about was the only time that I'd ever had a vision, the only time that I'd ever had a vision was when I was in Hawaii, right before I left to come back home to Pennsylvania. Right before I left. Well, I guess this would. I had two different visions. It was two. I had two visions that were like very, very clear. And one of them was me sitting on the beach, laughing with a boy who I knew was my soulmate. I felt it in my being. I felt the connection that I had with this person. So what I did was think about and feel into that vision that I had, and I was like, "There's no way, there's no way, there's no way that this is that person." And I am looking at him. He's looking at me, he stops. Like in the middle of the aisle, he just stops and looks at me. And I was like, "Oh my God." And I was like, "I like your vibes." I was like, "Why did I just say that? Like, why did I say that? Can we get real, please?" And he walks over into like a different aisle and he's sifting through clothes. And my whole body was completely absent. I don't even know how to explain what I was feeling. It was jittery. It was anxious, and I haven't felt anxious in so long. Like I got rid of anxiety. I don't feel anxiety, and I felt anxiety. And he, as I'm like looking down and like trying to make it not obvious that I'm looking at him, I know that he's looking at me. And then when I look up, he's not looking at me. And we're doing like this thing back and forth where we're both like trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Because I can read his mind. I'm like reading his mind from across the aisles. And I'm thinking to myself, this is freaking nuts. There's no way that I'm meeting my soulmate in the Salvation Army store. So I run. I'm thinking to myself, okay, I need to go talk to him. I'm just gonna breathe. I'm gonna breathe. I'm gonna go say something. Just say something. And as I'm working through it in my head, I finally take a step. I take a step in his direction, and the intercom over the loudspeaker goes, "Abby Castor to the front desk." And I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me." So I turn around, I stomp over to the front, and I'm telling everyone what's going on. I'm like, "Guys, guys, this is nuts. I just met somebody. I don't know how this is possible." And my friend Audrey, who I had come to be friends with over the course of a few shifts, was asking me questions. And I was like, "No, he's not underage," and like riffing off all these little details about it. And the whole entire time, I'm talking so loud next to the loudspeaker as someone is making an announcement, the entire store is hearing what I'm saying. Like, that doesn't happen all the time, guys. That's just so embarrassing. And I just kept on embarrassing myself because after he was done shopping, he came up to pay for something. I was like, "I think I know you." And I just kept looking at him, like, "I think I know you." And he's like, I was gonna ask for your number anyway. And I was like, oh God. I was like, this was just the most embarrassing thing. And then I even made it worse because I looked at my manager and I was like, can I go on my break right now? And he's looking at me like, this crazy ass bitch. Who is this human? And I walk outside and I'm like, hey, let's hang out. Like, here's my number. And of course, another detail, I never leave my phone at home, but I left my phone at home that day. I left my phone there. So I couldn't give him my phone to like give him my number, but he had his phone, so it was fine. Still, I had to wait until my shift was over to go on my phone to like respond to him. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's happening. So all day I'm like impatiently just so ready to get out of there. And I drive home. I mean, it's freezing. It's the winter time. This happened in January. And we hung out that night. So I pull up to his house and he gets in the car and he's like, drive. And I was like, okay. He's not asking me any questions. He says nothing. He just starts speaking in this esoteric, like, I know everything kind of way. And I was so confused because I could tell that he wasn't what I thought he was going to be. And I was very, very, very confused by his energy because he was woke, but he wasn't spiritual. He knew about the spiritual world, I guess, because he told me some things about him seeing spirits when he was younger and just very interesting stories that seemed to be so connected to one another, like just unbelievably. And like, it was so hard for me because I could feel him so shut off from himself. And I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a divine union. And it really threw me back so many steps. And it was beautiful when we interacted with one another. Like, it was so romantic and confusing because I didn't feel like myself. Like, I kept feeling like I had to impress him or say certain things that would make him think I was cool because I thought he was so cool. I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest guy ever. And he was so powerful and I was so intimidated by his energy. I was so intimidated by his essence of being. And after we met, I mean, the whole night that we hung out, I learned. It was like I experienced 50 years in energetically, spiritually, or learned so many lessons in a matter of minutes. It was the fastest I've ever evolved in my life. And I was like, I love you. Like, I literally told him that I loved him after the whole time. Like, we had been hanging out for like 6 hours. And it was the most crazy experience I've ever had in my life. And I told him that I loved him. And I couldn't hold back. I just had to express how I felt. And I knew that he thought that I was fucking crazy. And I took him home. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what just happened? Like, that was not what I wanted. That was not what I wanted to experience. And I get back to my house, I wake up the next morning, and nothing, like, no response from him, and I'm like, okay, well, you did tell him you loved him, Abby, like, that's kind of crazy. and he just, like, wasn't into it, and I was, like, really upset and heartbroken, and he just didn't want to hang out ever again after that, and I was like, this was supposed to be my soulmate and he doesn't want to hang out with me. Like, I was so confused because I was like, I felt worthless and I had to take so many steps backwards in recognizing my place and knowing that after reading so many things about the twin flame of relationship and realizing that it had nothing to do with me and everything to do with him, was the fact that he was emotionally immature and quite honestly not evolved enough to the point where he could be on my level. And it took me months to finally realize that and to realize that he is not worth my time. And I, after him rejecting me, I really, really, really had to figure out who I was, because after meeting somebody who you think is going to complete you rejects you, it hurts. It stings a lot. It hurts so much to be rejected by somebody who you think is going to love you. And I worked through that. I cut the cords. But even still, like weeks following, I saw him in my dreams. We had a conversation where I was like, we're not going to hang out until you fix your problems. And then I saw him again in my dream, and we were having another conversation. Like, I would remember my dreams with him so vividly and so clearly. Like, the conversations were so memorable, and I had been having a hard time remembering my dreams, so it was very weird that he would just show up and we would have conversations about life and our connection and stuff. So I was fully convinced that he was somebody for me. So months go by, and it's the day of the equinox, and I'm going to New York. I'm feeling so good. Like, I'm doing my thing. I'm doing my job. I feel like I am in a position of my own power. I feel empowered. I feel like I'm expressing myself. I feel like I know my worth. Finally feeling like I know my worth. My whole life, I didn't know how to feel worthy of love, how to feel worthy of myself, how to feel worthy of deserving what it is that I want out of life. And it was very disempowering my entire life to feel not good enough for people. And I still felt not good enough for him. And it was so stupid it wasn't stupid to think that way, but it was my programming. It was what I was running off of. And I didn't know how to get myself into a space where I was just me, just worthy of the love that I deserve, which is far more than somebody who is emotionally immature and unavailable to commit to a strong relationship, because I know now my worth. However, on the day of the equinox, after months of not talking to one another, I did not talk to him for months and months and months. I get a text from him, and he's like, hey. But I didn't know it was him. It was just a random number because I deleted his number. And I was like, who is this? And he was like, oh my God, you deleted my shit. It's Ben. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I was on a train going to New York when he texted me. And I'm like, he came back. This boy just showed up in my life again after 3 months of not talking. And you know what else he said? He's like, I wear your necklace that you gave me all the time. And I'm like, why would you say that? Why would you say that if you didn't want anything to do with me, that you wear my necklace all the time? Like, whatever, maybe you're just wearing it and saying that because you're a friend. But I did give him a necklace. I gave him, I think I gave him a lot of things when I saw him. I was just like, I love you. And I wanted to give him everything. And that terrified him, like, hard. Because think about it. If you are somebody who is emotionally just not emotionally intelligent, and somebody comes into your life and shows you a reflection of how much love that you could have for someone, that's scary. That's really scary to think that you could love that hard, having not ever felt that extreme amount of love for yourself before. So that could be quite shocking. And I know that I scared the crap out of him and probably intimidated him as well. So day of the equinox, he texts me about his necklace, and then he's like, let's go run away to Hawaii together. And I'm like, what the heck? And I'm thinking to myself, this is a test. This is a test from the universe. This is a test. This is a test. This isn't it. He's not really interested. Like, this is not happening. So I write it off, and I barely even, even though I'm so excited, I feel so excited that he just texted me. I'm like, no, I can't do that. So I don't really respond, and nothing really happens. I go about my day, I come home, and I live my life again, and I feel called to reach out to him after seeing him again in my dreams and hearing him. Like, the one day I was meditating and I heard his voice next to my ear, and I'm thinking to myself, what? How am I hearing him right now? I haven't spoken to him in months. I just heard like a hey come out of nowhere. I was like, what the heck? And I reached out to him after, this was way after the equinox, so about a week ago, thinking that I wanted to hang out with him. And he was like, well, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I come to find out that he's actually talking to somebody. And I was like, oh, okay. So there is something else. There is another energy that is around you that is matching your vibration, but also probably teaching you things that you need to learn. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the connection that I need. Like, I love him. Like, I don't know why, but I love him. And I, again, after so many times getting rejected again from him, like, could not figure out why I still felt like I was not worthy. I was like, why am I not worthy of this boy? Why is he rejecting me? Am I not cool enough for him? And just a reminder, just to remind you, if you ever have to question whether or not you are worthy of someone's love, then they are not your soulmate. They are not your soulmate. If you have to question whether or not your worth is valid enough for their experience. And so after making that actualization instead of just that realization, because obviously I know that I'm awesome, as you should know that you're awesome, but the feelings of worthiness, seeking that space within your heart, takes it's a hole until you find it within yourself, because your worth cannot be attached to anything outside of just you, your successes, your failures, the jobs that you have, the titles that you own, the different degrees that you've acquired, certificates, how well you paint, how well you dance, how much money you have, how little money you have. Your worth is not attached to anything outside of the love that you have to share. That is the only thing. That is the only thing that can liberate you from feeling unworthy of anything, because anything that is meant for you is always going to stay in your life. Anything that's meant for you. And I finally actualized it instead of realizing it, and I finally applied it into my life. And as soon as I was like, you know what? You are not worthy of me. As soon as I said those words, I felt the weight drop off my shoulders. I was like, you are not worthy of me. You are not ready for me. As soon as I said those words, weight dropped off my shoulders. And I was like, freedom. I was like, yes, I'm free. It's like, I don't care about you. I was like, I don't care. And I felt like I could move on, and I was in a really good space. And as I'm in that really good space, I'm babysitting, I'm dog sitting for a neighbor. And I'm, I don't even know how to explain how this happens. So I'm in the kitchen, just talking to someone on FaceTime, when I hear something out of my left ear. I turn my head, I'm like, what the hell is that? And I walk over to the other room, and sitting on this chest that they have in their house is a heart shape on this drawer. It's like painted, a painted heart. And right above the painted heart is the Alexa. And the Alexa started playing a song. The Alexa started playing Whiskey Glasses. And I don't know who the artist is, but the lyrics in the song that it started playing was, don't want to drink without her, can't wear a ring without her, don't want to hit the karaoke bar, can't sing without her. Because when them drinks gone, brother, she's gone, and if I'm ever going to move on, I'm going to need some whiskey glasses. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of tomfoolery is the universe playing on me right now? Like, I finally establish a place of certainty that I know that he is not worthy of me. And the universe decides to send me that message. And I'm thinking to myself, so does he really like me? I'm like, he has to like me. There's just no way that he doesn't like me. And I was so confused. Like, still, honestly, I'm still so confused. But I feel like I'm in a different place now where I know that he isn't ready for me. And I don't know if he ever will be. And I know the potential of that relationship, but I'm not attached to it anymore. And that's the lesson that I wanted to share with you today, is the lesson of worthiness and attachment. Because putting a label on something, such as twin flame or any kind of relationship, anyone who is ready for you is not going to react in emotionally toxic ways and is going to show you how much they think that you are worth. And if they don't show you, then they don't think that you are worth enough. And that is not on you. That is on them. And it's not necessarily like it's their loss or your gain. It's just not a vibrational match. It's not something that's meant for you. It's not worthy of your time. It's not worthy of your energy. But most importantly, you deserve better. You are shifting into what is really meant for you. And it doesn't mean that we have to say, oh, F him for not knowing my worth. And while that might make you feel better in the short term, I don't know, out of spite, it doesn't really feel right to me to be angry at someone or hasty with somebody because they don't understand you. It's just not meant for you. It's just not worthy of your time. And it's as simple as that. And it can be really hard to find that space within yourself to say no and to be attached to still to someone or something that you think is going to be the love of your life, someone or something that is not you. See, the thing is, you have to learn to unconditionally love yourself to be able to have the space to love anyone else. And if you can unconditionally love the person that you are, then it doesn't matter who or what stays in your life. You are always going to have enough faith and worth within your own being to know that no matter what happens, that you are always, always, always full of love. And I mean, being a human, part of the human experience is feeling connection, feeling some sort of attachment to things. We live in a material reality for a reason. But I think that there's a delicate line between learning the lesson of attachment, of desire, and really letting yourself feel into unconditional love for yourself and not being attached to the outcome and just trusting that whatever is a match vibrationally for you, emotionally, physically, whatever is a match for you will always step into your life so long as you let go of what no longer serves you. It's so funny that I had idealized what I thought the ideal relationship would look like for me. I even went so far as to manifest a prior relationship that fitted the bill of what I thought I wanted. And if you read my book, then you know that I was with a guy for a little while who treated me like a Disney princess. And everyone deserves to be treated like a princess, but it's not just about being rescued or it's not about victimizing yourself into a space where the man is going to save you or someone is going to save you if you're not into men. It's not just about that. It's about having the balance within yourself first and calling in the partner that is equal to you, calling in a partner that has done the work on themselves, calling in a partner that is emotionally available, that is, I mean, we all have our baggage, we all are imperfect, and we all have things to work on always, or we wouldn't be here. But we shouldn't have to put up with something that is ultimately immature. I'm speaking from my own experience in the sense that you have to trust the universe to bring you exactly what you deserve. You have to be patient and not force things and stop idolizing the Disney princess movie where the princess is this weak victim that needs saving. You have to save yourself. You have to balance out both the masculine and feminine energies within you so that you call in a partner who is also balanced within the feminine and masculine. You see, I put myself in a position where I felt like I needed the ideal masculine partner to save me. And in similar ways, I feel like what the relationship between my twin flame has taught me is that his feminine energies are so imbalanced while his masculine are so balanced. And my feminine energies are so balanced while my masculine are imbalanced. And I've realized that mirror has given me the reflection to realize that I have to balance myself first before I have the partner that is going to be my partner. And part of me is unsure of what the future holds as far as a relationship goes, because I want to be with someone to marry them, and I never thought that I would be like that. I thought that I would be so different. I thought that I would date and things, but I quite frankly don't want to waste my time with someone who is not committed to me, and I don't want to just give my power away, my sexual power, to anyone, because I know my power, I know my worth, and I don't see the point of dating really anymore. It was fun when I was younger, I guess, because I was experimenting and figuring out the things that I liked. I'm still figuring out the things that I like. And who knows, maybe the universe is going to put somebody in my life that's not going to be there forever, but I think I'd rather focus on myself. I think I'd rather focus on my journey than worry or think about who or what's going to be with me, because it won't matter who's with me, because they're never going to be against me. And I just know that things are going to be great for me, and I want to focus on the career that I'm creating for myself and just live live selfishly for a little while, in the, because my whole life I've lived a very I want to say I've lived a very selfless life, because I've always tried to give my love to everyone, is give all of my heart to every single person that I've ever met. And I think that I'm stepping into a phase where I'm going to receive, where I'm going to receive that love back. And I'm excited to take you guys along with me, because I'm moving. I'm starting over in a way. I'm not really starting over as much as I am just beginning. I'm beginning my life. I'm graduating college in a week and a half, and so many good things are on the horizon. I feel so good, and I really hope that my story, my silly story, and connection with this other human was entertaining. I hope that you find the lessons that you needed to hear in this episode. I hope that you're able to find your worth. I hope that you are finding the space within yourself to know that you deserve a partner that is worthy of you. Not the other way around. You are never going to be too much or not enough for the right people in your life, whether that be a relationship or a friendship. You are always going to be exactly as you are. You never have to impress anyone. You never have to impress anyone. When you are your authentic self, if somebody judges you or perceives you in a way that doesn't feel right, if you are being your authentic self and they are not making you feel any sort of way, but judging you, then they are not worth your time. They are not worth your precious time or energy. You are a sacred being. You deserve sacred relationships, friendships too. So if people aren't validating you, let's talk about friendships for a second. If people aren't giving you reciprocation in any sort of a way, if people aren't reciprocating the love that you're giving, the love that you have to share, then they are not deserving of you and your relationship. I have people come to me all the time. I just started doing my coaching program. If you guys didn't know, I am doing a coaching program. I am mentoring a few people and I have a few spots left. So, if you check out my website, justbe.social, then you can totally check that out. But a couple of the mentorees that I talk to are in so many relationships, have so many friendships where they allow people to control them, to judge them. And I think that it's because we fear so heavily being alone that we attach ourselves to people that ultimately treat us like crap. It's wild. The best thing I ever did for myself on my spiritual journey was let go of people that weren't helping me to feel any better, that weren't making me feel good. And especially after this whole boy that I met, and going up and down and everything, I'm grateful that he taught me how to know my worth. I'm very grateful that he rejected me. And I'm very grateful that people, when I was younger, didn't treat me the way that I always knew that I deserved to be treated. I'm grateful that people left me out, because I never would have kept looking for more. I never would have kept searching for myself. And hopefully right now you are ready to release anything that doesn't feel worthy of your time, people, places, things, in all always just release everything, because you are so much more than worthy. I send you away with so much love. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Universe Just Recognized Herself. Have a lovely day.